Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on a really fascinating exploration.
Yeah, it's a big one.
It is. We're looking into Christian nationalism and its, well, often pretty contentious relationship with empathy.
Mm-hmm.
Our mission today really is to unpack this insightful article from Christian Culture News. It's called The Rise of Christian Nationalism, Empathy as a Sin in Contemporary Society.
Heavy title.
Right. So we're here to pull out the key nuggets of knowledge, the surprising insights from this piece, you know, give you that shortcut to being really well informed on this.
And our objective, as always, is to give you a nuanced look. It's a complex topic for sure.
Absolutely.
We'll try to connect the dots, you know, between the history, what's happening now, and the broader impact on society.
Crucially important point here.
Yeah, it's crucial to remember we're just presenting the information from this source for your consideration. We're not taking sides, just laying it out so you can form your own informed view.
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this then.
Let's do it.
So our journey into this article, it starts, quite rightly, with understanding the main subject, Christian nationalism.
Right, the definition.
Yeah. The piece lays out its core ideas, says it's basically a political ideology aiming to merge Christian and national identities. Completely.
Mm-hmm. Merging the two.
It asserts fundamentally that the United States is a Christian nation. So it deeply intertwines religious belief with patriotism.
And what the article really highlights
Go on.
Is how this ideology, sometimes by design, kind of redefines empathy. It can shift it from being a core virtue
to being seen as a threat.
Exactly. A threat to, say, national purity. Especially when empathy leads towards progressive values like compassion for all, inclusiveness.
And it mentions this sort of moral high ground idea.
Yeah, the article points out how this perspective might occupy a perceived moral high ground, which can then be used to dismiss or devalue the experiences and rights of marginalized groups.
Okay, that's a strong claim.
And it's crucial to understand, the article stresses this isn't like some brand new thing.
Right, it has history.
Deep roots. The article notes Christian nationalism goes way back in U.S. history, even to colonial times. Settlers seeing their work as, you know, divinely ordained.
Wow. Okay. So that set a precedent.
A powerful one, yeah. And over time, this ideology adapted. It gained momentum, the article says, especially during times like the Civil Rights Movement or the Cold War.
And used to justify certain things.
Often used, according to the source, to justify exclusionary practices, to shape a vision of America that prioritized certain religious commitments over maybe broader inclusivity.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the article immediately brings up this, like, powerful paradox.
Yeah.
If you think about traditional Christian teachings, empathy feels like a total cornerstone, right? It seems almost backward to see it rejected.
Precisely. And the article really hammers this point home. It reminds us that compassion, loving your neighbor, these are central in traditional Christian teachings. Jesus in the Gospels, for example.
Like the Good Samaritan parable.
Exactly. It points right to the parable of the Good Samaritan. Historically, that story illustrated that love should cross ethnic cultural boundaries. A direct contrast, really, to some nationalist ideas.
Any other examples?
Yeah, it quotes scripture, too, like 1 Peter 3.8, which explicitly tells followers to sympathize with each other, love one another.
So we're talking about a really significant historical foundation for empathy within the faith itself.
Absolutely. A trait meant to build community, unity, reinforce collective responsibility.
It's about belonging, supporting each other. And then the article contrasts this with what?
Well, the article identifies this critical turning point where that deep understanding of empathy started to shift. It argues the rise of Christian nationalism really began influencing wider societal norms.
Oh, so?
Leading to a situation where empathy is sometimes, well, actively rejected or dismissed. Often, it says, disguised as just defending traditional values.
Yeah, it's quite a redefinition with big consequences, I imagine.
Profound ones. The article explains how this has sort of seeped into mainstream conversations. Especially, it notes, through the language some political leaders use.
Sure.
They've apparently made statements framing compassion for marginalized groups not just as weak, but even detrimental to the nation.
Wow. Can you give an example?
Well, the article points to discussions around immigration policy, where empathy for, say, vulnerable people seeking refuge is often pushed aside for what's called a stringent nationalistic approach.
So practicality over compassion, essentially.
Or framed that way, yes.
Yeah.
And it's not just politics. The source is careful to point out the role of media outlets, certain personalities.
And amplifying this.
Right. Amplifying rhetoric that devalues empathy, portraying people who advocate for social justice as maybe divisive or radical.
So it creates an environment where being compassionate could actually draw criticism.
That's the argument presented, yeah. It leaves less room for a nuanced view.
To really get a handle on this shift, the article brings in some concrete examples, doesn't it?
It does. It discusses the contemporary rise of nationalist parties in the United States.
And connects it to the rhetoric.
Yeah, where political figures use, quote, inflammatory language and push for things like stricter immigration policies, directly linking that policy stance to this de-emphasis on empathy.
Are there international examples too?
Yes. The source gives some stark parallels internationally. It mentions Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban.
Okay, what about Orban?
His government, the article says, implements policies promoting a homogeneous national identity, targets refugees, and often portrays empathy as a weakness in the national story.
A weakness. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Any others?
Another powerful example cited is Brazil under President Jair Bolsonaro.
Right.
His administration apparently downplayed the significance of environmental protection and indigenous rights. Effectively, the article argues, turning empathy into a kind of political liability, pushing it aside for economic or nationalistic goals.
These cases really underline the very real, sometimes painful results of rejecting empathy. It shows how leaders have, it seems, strategically used nationalism, maybe at the expense of more universal human values.
It certainly makes you think.
It really does. How could such a fundamental shift, you know, take root so widely?
Indeed. And these bigger trends, they connect directly to our everyday lives. The article talks about the normalization of anti-empathy sentiment within communities.
And that challenges social cohesion.
Deeply, especially in diverse places. What's fascinating here, the article notes, is how the sanctification of a singular worldview.
Like only one way is right.
Kind of. It can lead to alienating anyone who doesn't conform, which reduces chances for meaningful dialogue.
I can see that.
And the article even mentions the emotional and psychological toll this can take. Feelings of isolation, anxiety, depression.
Yeah, it makes sense. And media plays a role here, too.
A huge role, according to the source. Media and social media platforms creating echo chambers.
Through algorithms and stuff.
Exactly. Algorithm-driven content delivery that just reinforces what you already believe and minimizes complex talks about empathy.
It's that digital feedback loop, isn't it?
Pretty much. Sure. And the article points out how anonymity and the reach of social media can encourage more aggressive rhetoric.
Making it easier to position empathy as a weakness.
Right. Perpetuating division instead of understanding.
But okay, the article doesn't just leave it there, right? It's not all bleak.
No, definitely not. It also shines a light on hopeful developments. It details resistance and counter movements that have popped up.
Dedicated to what?
Dedicated to reclaiming empathy as an essential part of faith, of community life.
That's a really crucial counter narrative.
Yeah.
Does it give examples?
Yeah, concrete ones, like the Faith in Action Network.
What do they do?
They mobilize faith communities around social justice issues, immigration reform, racial equality, economic justice, advocating for a more inclusive idea of empathy.
Okay, good example.
It also mentions prominent theologians and activists who are actively reshaping the discussion, articulating a vision of faith that really prioritizes compassion and connection.
So there's a pushback.
Exactly. There's a growing discussion about empathy within many Christian communities, moving away from seeing it as a vulnerability.
And back towards seeing it as a strength.
Reestablishing it as a vital strength, yeah. Theological talks emphasizing empathy as intrinsic to the Christian faith, even academic studies exploring its psychological benefits for mental health, for social cohesion. It's described as a powerful resurgence.
Okay, so to sort of summarize where we've been, this deep dive has really explored a core tension.
Mm-hmm.
How Christian nationalism, at least as this article presents it, has often prioritized rigid norms, nationalistic ideas over the, you know, essential virtue of empathy.
Right, that central conflict.
Yet we've also seen these compelling efforts to restore it. The article makes it pretty clear that empathy, far from being a weakness,
is presented as a powerful tool.
Yeah, powerful tool for upholding human rights, human dignity.
And connecting that back to the bigger picture, the societal implications, The future of empathy, the article suggests, really hinges on our collective willingness to engage in constructive political discourse.
Valuing different perspectives.
Exactly. Valuing diverse perspectives.
Yeah.
And the article ends with a pretty clear call to action.
For individuals.
For individuals, yeah. To engage in empathy-centric initiatives, whether that's volunteering, joining community discussions, or, you know, simply reaching out to truly understand someone else's experience.
Right. So, final thought for you listening. What does all this mean for you?
Good question.
How can you actively embody empathy in your own life, in your communities? Maybe helping to foster a society that really honors the sanctity of human connection, building on some of the insights from this deep dive today.